Welcome, nerds, to another episode of The Nerd News. In this episode, the writer's strike continues to plague the TV and movies section, but we have plenty in the other sections. We have new music from Tenacious D. Keanu Reeves' band Dogstar is back in the news. That's pretty awesome. The update on the Microsoft Activision situation just keeps getting more and more weird. Google might be deleting your YouTube videos. All that and honestly a whole ton more, so let's do the thing.
Housekeeping.
Okay, so housekeeping for today. We are doing yet another very special episode of the Nerd News. So if you're on the main YouTube channel, then this is your regularly scheduled week in nerddom. However, if you are on any of the other outlets, very specifically the audio outlets, very specifically I'm looking at Nerdy Legion and Big Show Entertainment Network, and also the audio outlets. If you get this on any other audio platform, then you are getting the full episode. We did this last week. We're doing it again this week. For different reasons. Last week was for timing issues. This week it's because the writer's strike is just strangling the TV and movies section. So those are very, very small by comparison to everything else. So I figure I'm trying to give you as much quality content as possible. So I'm just going to give you as much content as possible and hope that it's all quality. So that's the real quick long and short of it. We are still a couple of weeks away from reinstating the live show, so there will not be a live show again this week. Multiple reasons. This time, not just the day job. Also, it's going to be a little bit of personal time this weekend, so I get that. And then, yeah, we've just got everything to do. I think that is what we have for just plain old housekeeping here on the channel. Let's talk about the news. Jumping into music news, we have a couple of follow-ups on some things that we've been keeping tabs on, or at least been monitoring ever so slightly. First up on that list is Five Finger Death Punch. If you remember a couple weeks ago, Five Finger Death Punch had to cancel a show opening for Metallica, of all bands, because Ivan Moody, the lead singer of Five Finger Death Punch, had to get surgery on a hernia. Well, it seems that that hernia surgery didn't go super well. So Five Finger has had to cancel two more shows, both of which on the Metallica bill. The shows were Paris and Hamburg, so in France and Germany, because Ivan has been told that he cannot participate in strenuous activity until after June 12th. So both of those shows, that is why they were canceled. If you only saw the headline that Five Finger Death Punch cancels shows, well, that's why. Makes sense. That's all we've got on that. Let's move over to Kitty is our other follow-up. We have the Sick New World Festival that they're playing. This is the one of the festival days that they put together. It's not part of the tour that they're going to be doing. It's a rather short tour, if I remember correctly. It's irrelevant to our point, though, because they did play some new music at the Sick New World Festival out in Las Vegas. The name of the song was Vultures, and there is not a good recording of it yet up on the YouTubes, which is kind of the biggest reason why I wanted to bring this up, because I kind of wanted to go on a little bit of a tangent. Being a sound guy myself, it strikes me as odd. I have not been on stage for some time. The last time I was on stage, though, was well before such things were super easy, though still relatively cheap. I'm kind of burying the lead here. I feel like it is strange that big festivals like this, or any festival, or really any show, I think Matt Hafey from Trivium has the right idea, when they post the performance up on the Trivium, I believe they do it on Twitch the following day, or it might be 2 days after. I really feel like it's very strange that these large festivals don't do something similar. If you run a large festival, Then yes, I understand you want to sell tickets, but you can only sell so many tickets. It makes a whole lot of sense to capitalize on the demand for the artists that you have at your festival, that you have some sort of proper video of the performances at your festival that has proper sound. That's the big thing for me is the sound. 'Cause like, yeah, these audience camera shots, some of them look okay, some of them look very decent, but none of them sound great. None of them sound very good at all because they're too far removed from the source audio. There's too much stuff in between them and the source audio. Whereas if the festival owners or the people who put on the festival were to do a proper video, it doesn't even have to be great. All you have to do is set up like two DSLRs on either side of the stage, not even on the stage, but you could do it on either side of the sound board and have them zoomed so that they have a slightly different camera angle. And then you take audio direct from the board and you have a video that is a 1,000,000% better than what most of these other people with their phones are posting, and then they're capitalizing on your hard work of putting this festival together. So it just boggles my mind why this doesn't exist, because then when a band performs new music that's never been heard from anyone else in the world who isn't directly associated with this band, then you can capitalize on the novelty of such a thing. It's the music industry just thinks that, I don't know, it's just a weird situation, and it's kind of been strange to me for some time, because like certain bands will do things like this. I've already mentioned Trivium, but back forever ago, the Grateful Dead was doing stuff like this. I believe one of the final tours that Linkin Park did, they did something like this. It wasn't video, it was only audio. You could register with your ticket barcode on their website, and then you would get a digital audio version of the performance that you were at, but you could only access your one performance, which is a little bit different. I think the Trivium mindset is that much better, because it's just you can relive your experience, and it's a missed business opportunity by so many people in this industry that I'm just going to keep rambling if I don't force myself to go forward. So that's what we have for follow-ups in music. Let's get into new music, shall we? In new music, we have, first up, Tenacious D has dropped some new tracks, or a new track anyway, and the name of the song is Video Games. Jack Black and Kyle Gass return once again to make you laugh and rock your face. This is exactly what the D does. I don't know that this is necessarily anything special as far as Tenacious D's previous offerings, but it's definitely in the same ballpark as Tenacious D's previous offerings. Also has me hopeful that they're going to be putting out a whole new record sometime soon, which would be even more great. That's what we got on that one. Let's move right along. Next up in new music, we have Wolfmother releasing new music. The name of the track is Stay a Little Longer. Now, Wolfmother is a little divisive, and I find it very strange, because if a band like Greta Van Fleet can be huge and popular and do something that is very, very similar, if not stolen, very, very similar to a band that did exist in the 70s, then why is Wolfmother, who has a unique sound unto themselves, but still kind of sounds like they came out of the 70s, why are they divisive? I don't get that. Because Wolfmother, in my eyes, is the far superior band in this situation. As far as just the general bandness of them. This track specifically is a rockin' tune, like exactly what you would expect out of Wolfmother. I don't think they've missed, it's been a little bit since we've gotten new music from them, but I don't think they really have missed a step as far as how they sound and what works for them. So absolutely a recommend. I'm a little bit of a Wolfmother fan, I'm not gonna lie, so that's why I don't understand the divisiveness of this band, but absolutely recommend, go check out Stay a Little While from Wolfmother. Then we have Asking Alexandria giving us the new Dark Void track. Asking Alexandria has been so all over the board as far as modern hard rock, active rock, metal, whatever the hell you want to call them, whatever the hell they're doing from one record to the next. This Dark Void track, it feels kind of like the direction they've been going for some time. Just really digestible, but still with a bit of an edge, kind of radio-friendly-ish heavy music. And it's not terrible. I personally prefer them when they were back in their more metalcore days, when they're a bit more aggressive. I believe the lineup was significantly different back then. But this one's not bad. It just feels like a almost like a heavier version of Linkin Park. So if that intrigues you, then I would say recommend. Otherwise, if you're expecting Asking Alexandria to go back to their heavier days, then stay far away from this one. And then, I didn't necessarily want to, because we talked about the first single off of the new record, but Avenged Sevenfold have dropped another single from their upcoming record, and what did I just listen to? What is, alright, so I am a strong proponent of a band evolving and trying different things with their sound. And I'm not saying that I'm not that way for this new Avenged Sevenfold sound. It's just, this is such a stark contrast to everything they've done previously. I mean, say what you will about early Avenged Sevenfold versus modern Avenged Sevenfold, I think we've stepped into a completely different stratosphere with the music that these guys are performing. This is difficult to listen to, and sometimes coming from me, that is not a bad thing. But for this one, I don't know what to make of it. It very potentially is just difficult to listen to and with no benefits to figuring out the code, if you will. Whereas you listen to something like Dillinger Escape Plan, Converge, those other kind of more difficult bands, and like there is a catharsis once you finally find the groove or whatever the issue is that like you appreciate but you can't figure out why you appreciate it. I don't know that there's a whole lot for this Avenged Sevenfold track to really get into. Anytime they get into something that has potential, they switch it up. And in a very jarring and disjointed kind of way. And I think that is the big takeaway from what they're doing. They are being very experimental, but in a very jarring and disjointed kind of way that really doesn't have any payoff for the listener. So, recommend, but not necessarily for like regular listening pleasure, but just so that you can see what I'm talking about, I guess. Like, it's definitely an interesting listen, but do you want to listen more than once? I don't know. I'm gonna pass that one off to you guys. Next up is one I didn't expect to like as much as I did, and that is a new track from Otep, the band led by Otep Shemaya, front woman who has been around for some time. Honestly, was a fan of the first two or three Otep records. This will be their 9th record that this comes out on, and you kind of have definitely fallen off the radar for a little while. This is a cover of a Billie Eilish song, You Should See Me in a Crown. So one thing I will always commend this band about is their mix is phenomenal. Back in the day, when she had Evil J on bass, probably a little bit better then, but this is still reminiscent of those earlier recordings when everything was just so present in the mix. This is definitely a great example of that, and just I really dig this. I really like the original Billie Eilish version. Otep doing a cover is pretty cool, and then just, yeah, personal politics aside, obviously, but this is a strong recommend. This is a really cool track. Our last piece of new music comes from Corey MF and Taylor. So Corey Taylor is dropping a new record called CMF2. The name of the first single off of this record is Beyond, and the record comes out September 15th, so we've got a little bit of time, but I mean, This is why Stone Sour doesn't exist, because Corey wanted to do what Corey wants to do, and if that means he's gonna write a mediocre song, then by God, he's gonna write a mediocre song. I'm saying that in jest, and I'm being a little mean-spirited, I understand, but, like, it's... There is something to be said when you have a group of very talented musicians to bounce ideas off of because you're in a band together. With this CMFT project, Corey Taylor is just doing whatever Corey Taylor wants, and we learned on the last record that that's not always a great thing, and this is kind of an example of that. This isn't a bad track. This is definitely something that that's very likely going to get a lot of radio play, but... Yeah, it's not a great track. It's not something that's going to be remembered 6 months or a year after this record comes out. This is just something to fill up the radio waves. And mediocrity, we have this conversation all the time. Mediocrity is almost worse than being bad because there's like it's not memorable. There's nothing to learn from it. It's just going to die in the wind, and I think that's what's going to happen with this track. And that's what we had for new music, so let's talk now about tours and festivals. We have a couple of big ones announced in the past week. First up, we have Ice Nine Kills is starting their Fear the Premiere tour. It will be in part supporting for Metallica and also in part support for Lamb of God. Begins August 6th in East Rutherford, New Jersey. Runs through September 3rd in Phoenix, Arizona. There is a pre-sale, if you follow the link in the description below. The pre-sale link was not active when I was taking notes, so hopefully by now it is, and it should be pretty easy to find if you want to get tickets for Ice Nine Kills Fear the Premiere tour. Next on the tours and festivals, we have Steel Panther. Yes, that's right. The new Motley Crue, if you will. Steel Panther have announced the next leg, I should say, of their U.S. tour. The name of the tour is On the Prowl. It's in support of the record that came out a little over a year ago now. It starts July 13th in Huntington, New York, runs through August 19th in Las Vegas, Nevada, and kind of everywhere in between. This is actually a pretty long leg of the tour. I would imagine after this, they're going to go to Europe and then start working on new music because they have a new bass player and such. So from there, we have one last piece, and that is The Devil Wears Prada and Fit for a King have announced a co-headlining tour. The name of the tour is the Metal Core Dropouts. It features support from bands Counterparts and Landmarks. I've only briefly heard, honestly, Fit for a King, Counterparts, and Landmarks. Fit for a King is... It makes sense that these four bands are on tour together. Let's just say that, shall we? All right, so the tour kicks off September 15th in Anaheim, California, runs through October 19th in, once again, Las Vegas, Nevada. So everybody just wants to go to Vegas these days. That's what we got for tours and festivals. Let's get into regular-ass news, shall we? So first piece in regular-ass news is... Queens of the Stone Age are releasing new music. I have announced at least a new record. The name of the record is called In Times New Roman. It is set to be released June 12th. No new single for it just yet, but just that awesome. We had to talk about the Queens of the Stone Age because, yes, please. Next up is kind of the biggest news piece for music this week, and that is Keanu Reeves' grunge band, I believe they are, has announced that they are going to be returning to the stage, as well as writing new material. This band has been in something of a hiatus. I mean, I say something of a hiatus. They have very much been in hiatus to the point that people didn't think they were still a band since 2002, I believe, was the last time they performed. Their last record came out in 2000, and so this will be the first time we've heard new music from them in over two decades. This will be the first time that they have been on stage in almost two decades, and just very intrigued by this. It will be the end of this month is going to be their first live performance together. So, I mean, we have no other real updates from there. It's just pretty... pretty interesting, I would say. We will be keeping tabs on this once new music comes out. We'll talk about it and so on and so forth. But until then, that's what we've got for regular ass news. Let's talk about music suggestion for the week in celebration of the pending Mortal Kombat announcement trailer. We have Mortal Kombat More Combat, not a game soundtrack, but not really a movie soundtrack either. This came out between the 1995 and 1996 movie releases, back when, you know, that was still a big novel thing. And it kind of combines elements of this album. Is kind of the reason why I really have an appreciation for industrial music. It's definitely better than either of the movies that it's attached to, because technically, again, attached to the original 95 movie and Mortal Kombat Annihilation, so far better than the second and a fair bit better than the first. I don't know, standout tracks, the whole damn thing. There is no real standout track on this. It's just, you have to listen to it from front to back to fully appreciate it, and that is your musical suggestion for the week. Next, we have gaming and tech. We have mostly follow-ups in gaming and tech, though we do have a little bit more than that. Microsoft, Activision, Splatoon, Google, so on and so forth. Let's jump into it. So, without burying the lead, the Microsoft Activision situation just gets more and more ridiculous. So now the EU, the general body of the EU regulatory board, has approved the merger. There are a couple of caveats that they carved out, making sure that Microsoft is dedicated to keeping the cloud gaming, because apparently that's a thing with people who don't understand the gaming world, but whatever. They've carved out a couple caveats to make sure that the cloud gaming situation stays even and fair, or something along those lines. And so Microsoft is really using this to tout in front of the UK and the US boards, because both of them so far are the only real hurdles that they've run into. So they're using this to kind of pressure other regulators into doing their bidding, though the US situation is resulting in a lawsuit. So, yeah, I don't know how well that's going to work out, which I just... But we'll keep tabs and keep talking about it, and let's move on right now. Next up is Hogwarts Legacy. This is an ongoing situation, because we already talked about the fact that Hogwarts is the biggest release that I think has ever happened for Warner Brothers, as far as gaming goes. I could be wrong. I could be conflating that with Zelda. We'll talk about Zelda in a moment. But the big update here is that it is now out for all consoles, current generation and previous generation, except for the Nintendo Switch. So if you are like me and you have yet to upgrade your console and you are not a Switch player, then you can play Hogwarts Legacy finally. So I'm probably going to dig into that a little bit this weekend, unless I get a Switch. But again, we'll talk about Zelda in a moment. The Switch release for Hogwarts Legacy has been pushed back to November 14th, and they've said it's for quality assurance reasons, because they don't want to come out the gate like basically every other major game has of date, of recent, and just give us a half-assed product and then fix it over time after it's already in our hands. They want to make sure it is the proper game, the proper experience as soon as it launches. Very possibly, I would conjecture that it's because there's not going to be a whole lot of support once the game launches. They're going to launch and then kind of move on with their lives, which seems to be par for the course, especially as it pertains to the Switch right now, because rumors are circulating that we're getting a Switch 2, probably announcing next year with a launch at the end of next year. That though, we're going to move from Hogwarts into Zelda proper. So The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom is selling incredibly well. This is just a real quick kind of TLDR of how well it's selling. As of now, it is the fourth largest Zelda release for Nintendo. And also, there has been a speedrunner who beat the game in 94 minutes and published the video of his speedrun on YouTube. I'll see if I can get the link for that and put that in the description, but either way, pretty freaking awesome, and should be relatively easy to find if you just put in Tears of the Kingdom speedrun. But yeah, so the fourth largest release, I believe, Wind Waker, or no, it's outsold Wind Waker. It's, I can't remember the list because, say it with me, children, I take amazing notes. I'm sorry, I did not write down the top three. I believe Ocarina of Time is in there, but that's... No, Ocarina of Time also is not in there, which was one of the things that surprised me. I'll add it to the notes when I publish the show notes. But yeah, that's our follow-ups and corrections. Let's get into trailers for gaming and tech. We have one trailer. It is a gaming trailer, and it is Splatoon 3. The Sizzle Season is what they're calling this new update. With the Sizzle Season, we're going to be seeing it's three new maps. First is a brand new map called Barnacle and Dime, and then we have a returning map from Splatoon 2, Humpback Pump Track. We have a bunch of new weapons, or a bunch. We have a couple of new weapons, we have new music, and then we have we have a couple of new weapons, we have some new music, and the crowd went wild. That's what we have for trailers. Let's talk about some regular ass news. And this is kind of interesting because apparently Google is going to be deleting your YouTube videos. There is always a little bit of addendum to that, right? If you have an inactive YouTube channel, if you have published, and they didn't give any sort of parameters as to what quantifies inactive, but they're trying to clear house a little bit. They got to clean up a little bit of space, and so if nobody's watching the videos that you've published, if you are not actively publishing on your YouTube page anymore, for whatever reason, then your videos are going to be deleted. This is going to be a company-wide, it's not just YouTube, it's going to be a company-wide initiative. They're going to be going through and getting rid of some other stuff in the Google Workspaces areas, Google Drive, Gmail, so on and so forth, all of that included. There is like a proper announcement from Google. I will link to that down in the description. From there, we have, that's it for regular ass news. Let's talk about some gaming and tech suggestions, and big surprise here, Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom is the suggestion for this week because, yeah, of course it is. Because this is probably, this is very likely going to be the biggest release for a Zelda game ever, and very likely one of the top three, top ten, five, we'll say top three to top five releases for Nintendo, at least this generation. So absolutely, this is the straw that broke the camel's back. I will be getting a Switch now because of this game, on top of also Smash Brothers and so on and so forth, but really, it's for Tears of the Kingdom. And so you should probably try to find a way to get your hands on it. I'm not gonna say go out and purchase a Switch for it, but definitely play it if you have a friend or the little sister or something that has a Switch. Go play Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. Next up is comic books and books, and we have one follow-up here. We're talking about Knight's Terror, Knight's End. We have new Trigun books. That's right, we're talking about that. We have a couple other things to talk about, and let's get into this. So, in follow-ups, once again, Knight's Terror, Knight's End. Those Batman books that we talked about previously, that started with Free Comic Book Day, the tease, rather, was for Free Comic Book Day, and was going to be a new Batman arc that DC was given a shot. With writer Joshua Williamson, art by Howard Porter. The first book is set to release on July 4th. That is part of the update, the follow-up. The other follow-up, the other part of this is that this book series, they're all going to be one-off books that kind of tell a larger story, kind of like the Wild Cards series, it sounds like, as done by George R.R. Martin. But this series is also going to introduce a new villain to the DC mythos. I don't know if it's going to be specifically a Batman villain or not, but because this is kind of a DC-wide event. But the name of this new villain is Dr. Hate. I have not been able to find any art for this character just yet, but hopefully by the time I'm editing this video, it should be up on the screen. If you're listening on audio, then by all means go find the video of this because I'm gonna try. I'm gonna do the thing. From there, though, that's what we have for follow-ups and corrections. Let's talk about some regular-ass news. This one should be a follow-up, but it is not, because for some reason I missed the original announcement, and that is Trigun is not only getting one new book series, but two new book series from Dark Horse. The name of these books is Trigun and Trigun Maximum. They are coming in April, which is awesome. Vash the Stampede is the homie. And we have collector's editions have now been announced as well. Like I said, I should have got this with the original announcement. I don't believe we've talked about this. So now that there's going to be a collector's edition, it's getting talked about. Collector's edition are going to range from $40 to $50. They are going to be trade style. I could not find any other information pertaining to this aside from just the really fancy binding that it's going to be in for the collector's edition. If I can get more, we will talk about that in the next episode for follow-ups, but otherwise that's really the long and the short of it. We're getting Trigun books, there's collector's editions for both of the books, and yeah, I'm gonna be reading this. Let's move on. Next we have Miss Marvel. So yeah, apparently quasi-spoiler alerts, though I don't know how big Miss Marvel is amongst my viewership, but Miss Marvel is going to be killed by Marvel. The storyline where we get this, or the arc rather, where this starts, is going to begin in The Amazing Spider-Man number 26, written by Zeb Wells, art by John Romita Jr. So that's, I like John's art. I don't know a whole lot of Zeb's writing, so I can't necessarily speak to that, but the art that I've seen so far looks fantastic. But it is going to kick off in a proper book unto itself. The name of the book is Fallen Friend, The Death of Miss Marvel. Number one will be on sale July 12th, so it will be presumably a week or two previous when the Spider-Man book comes out, but I didn't write that down because I take amazing notes. The writer for the Fallen Friend book is going to be G. Willow Wilson, also with Saladin Ahmed and Mark Waid. So G. Willow Wilson, kind of a 50-50 as far as her track record goes, as far as what I've read of hers. And also Mark Waid, usually a win, about a 70-30% track record as far as wins go. I don't know Saladin Ahmed, or Ahmed, I'm gonna presume Saladin Ahmed. Yeah, I'm not familiar with the work from that writer, but still, interesting that they're going to at least temporarily be killing off such a fan favorite character as Miss Marvel in the comic books. What does that spell for the future of the MCU in the theaters? Probably not much, honestly. This is probably just a thing to keep things fresh in the comics. I would imagine not everything is testing ground for the movies, this being a prime example of that. From that is what we have for regular-ass news. So that brings us to our comic books and books suggestion for the week. It's actually another book suggestion. We have Wise Man's Fear from Patrick Rothfuss. Wise Man's Fear is the second book in the King Killer Chronicles. I think I've recommended the first book probably three or four times at this point, so we should probably talk about the second book because it is equally as good and sets up the third book to be probably, I'm going to show you this again. So this is the small font or small text version of the book. See how thick this thing is? It's as big as my head. So this book sets up the third book to be even bigger because there are so many more questions and not enough answers in this one. And it's only going to be a trilogy, according to Rothfuss. So yeah, absolutely you should be reading the King Killer books. Book number two is our suggestion for this week. It is fantasy like you've never read before. And to even call it just fantasy, I feel like is creating in your mind a thing that is not going to be fair to the quality of this book, because it is the best piece of fiction, not fantasy fiction, not any other caveat of fiction, just fiction in general. These are the best books that have come out for fiction in probably 20 years at this point. So absolutely recommend Wise Man's Fear. Go read the King Killer books from Patrick Rothfuss. That puts us into the TV portion of today's episode. Yeah, we have some cancellations at the CW and a couple other things to talk about. And that's about it. So let's jump into this. First up, we have follow-ups and corrections. We talked previously about the Walker spinoff series being canceled. Well, CW has continued the cancel hammer. Now that they're under new ownership, it seems that they're trying to clean house, much like they said they were going to. So as part of this cleaning house, we have The Winchesters has been canceled after its first season. We have also joining The Winchesters and the Walker Independence series, Kung Fu has also been canceled, which then leads to some speculation and things that we're going to get into in the rumor mill surrounding other shows that are still actively on the CW. But like I said, that kind of factors in the fact that the CW has come under new ownership very recently, and they're cleaning house like they said they were going to. So the Winchester situation, Jensen Ackles has said that he's going to try and shop it around to other outlets. I don't know exactly how that's going to work with rights and things, but I mean, more power to him. He also has made it clear that there was a 5-season plan, so they wanted to get to at least the 5th season. Also, continuing talking about the CW, they have made it known that going forward from here, instead of the traditional length of seasons for their properties, which is generally been somewhere between 20 and 23 episodes per season, which back, if you think about this, back in like, I think it was the 70s into the 60s, or the 60s into the 70s, even up into like the early 90s, so all through the 80s too, a lot of shows' regular season runs was even closer to, I think it was like 40 or 50 episodes, because it was multiple, new episode multiple times a week for about 3 to 5 months. So yeah, that's we've come a long way, haven't we? And honestly, the quality has improved, but that's a whole different conversation for another time. But CW has said that they're going to be joining with the rest of television effectively and basically having their cutting in half the season lengths of their shows. So they're going down from 20 to 23 episodes down to approximately 13 episodes per season per show. So this brings them, like I said, much in line with everyone else at this point, except for even like streaming specific shows are even more abbreviated, because they're more in the line of anywhere from 6 to 12 episodes. And 12, I think, is even a kind of a rare beast at this point. So very interesting, shaking things up over at the CW. That's our only follow-up that we got, though. So let's get into trailers. We did get a couple of trailers, in spite of the fact that no new shows are currently being worked on as far as, like, if a writer is concerned. The production has halted. So that's basically everything that's in the middle of production. But we got trailer for The Bear Season 2 and a release date for The Bear Season 2. Super excited about that. June 22nd is the release date. The trailer is giving me more PTSD flashbacks of my early days in the kitchen world, restaurant world, and just, I dig it, but also gives me a little bit of the crawly skins. From there we have Foundation Season 2, also just released a trailer, and Lee Pace looks amazing in this. This is going to be yet another home run for Apple TV Plus. Release date for this one is July 14th. Foundation will be released from week to week. You'll get a new episode every week, whereas The Bear is going to be dropped all at once on Hulu, I believe. So all that is what we got for trailers, and let's get into regular ass news. We got one piece of regular ass news, and that is Archer. Season 14 will in fact be the final season. It debuts on August 30th. It will be on FX like it has been forever, which means it will end up on Hulu the next day and you'll get weekly episodes. But this is the farewell season for Archer, which, I don't know, it doesn't feel like it's been on TV for 14 seasons, but good stuff always ends too soon, right? Continuing on, that's what we've got basically for the section, so let's get into TV suggestions. TV suggestion this week is a little controversial, a little NSFW, if you will. This is Junji Ito's Maniac series over on Netflix. Junji Ito is a manga artist, director guy who does very disturbing stories. This is horror, but this is like, it's not like necessarily, I don't know, it's hard to really pin this down. So the Netflix series that he got to do is basically an anthology series. It's shorts. Each episode is approximately two short stories, and each one will have your skin crawling just a little bit more than the last. I honestly have yet to finish the series because it takes a lot to watch, but in all of the best ways. And I didn't realize an animated series could do this. I also didn't realize an anthological series of short stories could do this. And boy, does it. This is 100% something that if you are into horror, this is 100% something you need to watch. So go check out Junji Ito's Maniac on Netflix. And then that takes us to our other short section, movies, because definitely affected by the writer's strike. So we have a couple follow-ups, Hellboy, Beetlejuice, Twins. We have a few trailers, and then we have one piece of regular news again. So let's do this. First up, Hellboy, Crooked Man has wrapped on principal photography. This could mean good things. This could mean that we are on track still for Hellboy. Unless, because like I said, principal photography, unless we need to come back in and do reshoots, which would also mean that rewrites were in order, which means we can't do that until the writer's strike is done. So potentially we are still on track for the new Hellboy movie. I'm not going to hold my breath that there's not going to be some sort of snag in the post-production of this movie. Continuing from there, we have Beetlejuice 2. We now have another casting announcement. Willem Dafoe, because how perfect is that man for a Tim Burton movie? Willem Dafoe has been cast for a mystery role in this. We still honestly don't know any details aside from kind of some of the casting. I don't even know if Michael Keaton has confirmed, but I don't think Winona Ryder has been 100% confirmed. And Jenna Ortega, I think, is even still technically rumored, even though it's kind of one of the worst kept secrets in Hollywood. So yeah, I'm so intrigued by the secrecy around this Beetlejuice movie. I'm loving it. Let's move right along. Our final piece of follow-up information comes about the movie Twins. We were supposed to get, it was a reboot or it was a sequel, according to the notes, sequel. So the sequel to Twins is no more. It has been killed in the water, probably because they were too early in production. And the writer's strike is just going to be too big of a blow for them to overcome, so not going to happen. The rumors of a reboot movie still circling, so potentially that could happen somewhere down the road, but right now the sequel to the Arnold Schwarzenegger Danny DeVito movie, not happening. From there, we've got some trailers to talk about. Honestly, kind of surprised we got a couple of these trailers. First up, Five Nights at Freddy's has finally dropped a trailer, and this is a little bit of nostalgia bait for elder millennials, which I think is the target audience for the game anyway, so makes sense. But also kind of legitimately makes me intrigued by what they're going to do with this now. Ostensibly dead? Is Five Nights at Freddy's dead? It's not getting the same kind of traffic that it once did. So very intrigued as to how this is going to affect the gaming side of this franchise as well. But definitely go check out the trailer because it looks pretty fun for a cheeseball horror movie. The next trailer that we have is Strays. This one kind of came out of left field for me because I don't know, for whatever reason, just wasn't on the radar until I saw the trailer when I went to go see Evil Dead Rise. More about that in the That Just Happened episode for this week, which will be up later this week. Hopefully I'll get up on Friday like I try for. But yes, I saw the trailer, the Red Band trailer, no less, for Strays, which is, again, a target audience, elder millennials, because when we were kids, we got to see things like Homeward Bound and all of the talking animal movies. I can't think of the other ones right now. The two Babe movies. Rambling. But this is an adult comedy done in that style where it's talking animals going on an adventure. And I don't know, if I say anything more, then I might give it away. Though this also kind of brings up an ongoing issue that I think we've at least referenced here on the show about trailers giving away the everything in the trailer. This movie, I've already seen the movie now because this trailer was so in depth, I guess is a way to put that. Should be noted that if you click the link in the description, that is the Red Band trailer. Definitely strong language, no like nudity or anything, but very strong language and very, very funny. Will Ferrell is the star of the show, if you will. His voice is the voice of the main dog, owned by Will Forte. Isla Fisher, Randall Park, and Jamie Foxx also lend their voices to this project. It looks great. It's a little disheartening for the first about 40 seconds of the trailer. Makes you go, oof, why did they make this into a movie? But give it time. By the time you hit the end of the trailer, you'll have a different appreciation for what's going on. That being said, let's move into our final trailer for this week, and that is just actually about 20 minutes before I came up to film, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1 has dropped its first trailer. Release date for this movie is July 12th. The Mission Impossible series, honestly, always a home run. They always do good things. It's not gonna change cinema necessarily, but it is definitely going to make you want to go to the theaters. And I feel like the cinematography in the trailer so far looks really cool. So if you are a cinema nerd, then there's at least going to be some eye candy for you as well. So go check that out. That's what we got for trailers. Let's talk now about regular ass news. We got some One Piece, because again, writer's strike is killing everything. One Piece, and that has to do with Avatar, The Way of Water, is available now for digital purchase, I'm pretty sure. But the announcement here is for the streaming availability. So it will be available to stream on June 7th. But where will it be available to stream, I hear you ask? It will be available on both Max and Disney Plus. Both streamers are going to be streaming this movie on the same day. So on June 7th, it will go to both of the major streamers at this point. So pretty epic. But that's all we got for regular ass news. Let's talk now about movie suggestion for the week. Evil Dead Rise is absolutely the suggestion for this week. If you are a horror fan, then this is apparently a good episode for you because we keep talking about horror stuff. But if you are a horror fan, Evil Dead Rise, if you are an Evil Dead fan, there's a lot here for you. This is not going to be funny like Evil Dead 2 or the Army of Darkness. There is a level of humor to this movie, and there's a questionable level of humor to this because there's where you laugh and go, oh, am I a horrible person for laughing at that? Because that was funny, but what's happening now is not funny. It'll make you question who you are as a person, but it will also entertain the hell out of you. This is so much better than the reboot. The reboot, we're not going to get into that conversation. Maybe I'll do another video talking specifically about the reboot versus Evil Dead Rise, but this is just a hell of a movie. Go watch Evil Dead Rise if you have the stomach for it. And that leaves only the rumor mill nerds. So let's talk about all of those fun rumors. We have no confirmations or refutations. We have no new sources for old rumors. We only have, well, I don't know, I guess one of these is kind of new sources, but we'll get to that. We only have new rumors, technically speaking. So let's jump into new rumors. First up, Superman Legacy. We have a kind of a series of rumors, which is why I didn't put this in the new sources, because there's a couple of new developments in the rumor mill as far as Superman Legacy is concerned. First up, casting of Lex Luthor. We have Nicholas Holt is apparently in the front runner position for this role. This could be amazing. I think Nicholas Holt is a little bit of an underappreciated actor. I think he hasn't really been given a lot of opportunities to really stretch into the quality of an actor that I think he actually is. So this could be an interesting role for him to do that, if these rumors are to be believed. But James Gunn has come out and made a kind of blanket statement about most of the rumors that are circling this movie right now, where he has said he's not going to comment on who is auditioning for a role, seeming to imply who that most of these casting rumors are very potentially are people who are auditioning for certain roles. So that, I mean, yeah, I think a lot of people audition for a lot of things. That should be taken with a grain of salt. But also, that means we're going to do all of the audition rumors as one rumor, or as one likelihood percentage. So other auditions that we potentially are getting, we have David Cornsweet rumored to be auditioning for Clark, or rumored to be in the running for Clark. We have for Lois, we have Emma McKay, Rachel Brosnahan, Phoebe Denever. Oh, I did not say that correctly, and I apologize. We have Samara Weaving, all in the running for the Lois role. So likelihood for any of these casting announcements, I'm going to put it at 50% because it's casting. It's not, this is very early in the process. To do anything resembling specifics at this point would be speculation. And that's not what this is. This is rumor. So yeah, no, the 50%, it could go either way for any of these actors. That's not what we're here to talk about. The next rumor though is an interesting one, because we have a rumor saying that Lex Luthor is in fact going to be a black character, or at the very least that James Gunn is open to casting a black actor for the role of Lex Luthor. The specific vocabulary for this is the more heartening side of this, because he has it is said as part of this rumor that he is open to casting a black actor, which means he's going to cast whoever he thinks encompasses the role of Lex Luthor the best, regardless of checkboxes or anything along those lines. So at the very least, that's better than specifically looking to race swap this character. Yeah, find the best actor. That should be the focus. I will forever put the quality of story over the quality of representation any day. If that means that you get a race swapped character, then it won't matter, because the quality of story will make up for any minor qualms that come with such a thing. So yeah, but being as most of the actors, all of the actors I've read at least, who are supposed to be auditioning for Lex Luthor are not anything other than white actors, it stands to reason that he is actually looking for somebody who physically resembles the character from the comic books. So we're going to put about 30% likelihood that there is potential for a race swap Lex Luthor. It exists. I'm sure that James Gunn is not going to deny a fantastic actor the opportunity because of their skin color. I just don't think it's going to happen. And then the other rumor that is associated with the Superman Legacy movie right now is Apex Lex, the Apex version, the super-powered version, if you will, of Lex Luthor, is rumored to be the version of the character they're going for with this version of Superman. And I think that would be something that we have not... we got a small taste of that, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, in the Smallville, no pun intended, series, but nothing that's really been predominant in normie version of the nerd culture. So nothing that a lot of people who are unfamiliar deeply with the comic books have really been able to experience. So I think James Gunn liking to, you know, throw curveballs and out of left field and whatnot and so forth, to mix metaphors, I think this has a fair potential. It's not a super strong. We're only going about 60% likely that we will see Apex Lex as the version of Lex Luthor that we get. But I think there's a slightly better chance of that than not. So there we go. Moving from there, staying with the DC side of things, and specifically with Superman even, we have Superman and Lois. We talked briefly about this in the TV section, but we're going to talk a little bit more about it because there is rumor associated here as well. So Superman and Lois is rumored to also be up on the chopping block over at the CW. But the rumor goes on to say that it is very likely that this could get picked up at least to finish out the fifth season, I believe, is what James Gunn said we were likely to get. So at the very least, the HBO Max, or Max, I'm sorry, is very potentially going to be picking it up if it does get canned over at the CW. So I can see that possibly this would be a thing, but Superman and Lois is one of the highest rated shows over on the CW right now, as far as like this kind of stuff is concerned. So I don't necessarily see it getting the axe. It was said that Superman and Lois and one other show, both of them were potentially up to be axed, and of the two, one would stay, and Superman and Lois is the better performing one of the two, so it only makes sense that they would stay. So I don't necessarily think this is a thing, but if they do get canceled, I would imagine that they will get a season, maybe two seasons, over at Max in order to finish it up so that James Gunn is not made out to be a liar. So yeah, 60% likely that that will be the outcome. Let's move over to Star Wars now. We have a really interesting rumor about Dave Filoni's movie. According to rumor, the working title of the movie is Heir to the Empire. So if you remember, if your memory stretches back far enough, then you'll remember that Heir of the Empire is a book that exists in the extended universe before the Disney purchase. It was the book that introduced Admiral Thrawn as one of the major threats in the galaxy far, far away. So it stands to reason that that's at least one of the explanations for this, that, you know, because this is going to at least kind of deal with Grand Admiral Thrawn, that they would do something to honor that. But the implication is a little bit more than that, assuming that this is to be believed. The implication is that Dave Filoni is want to bring back some of the key elements of the extended universe, because so far those key elements have by and large been ignored, save for the Boba Fett situation. And even that was kind of, maybe you should have ignored it. to some, I dug the Boba Fett series. But the likelihood here, Dave Filoni is the guy that would do this. Dave Filoni is the guy that would make this a thing again. Dave Filoni is the guy that should be in charge of Star Wars to many, 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 many fans' appreciation. So I'm putting this one at about 70% that just because it's the working title too, doesn't mean it's going to be the final title, but I would love to see that. But 70% likely that Heir to the Empire is the working title and potentially the proper subtitle to Dave Filoni's Star Wars movie. And then we have some gaming rumor, to get out of the way. Mortal Kombat! Alright, so before we get into the rumor, I just have to put this out there. I, for a minute, was pushing back against the idea that the next game is going to be called Mortal Kombat 1. Now I think that that has strong possibilities for many reasons, but the next game's just going to be great, and we're going to continue on. The rumor is that the supposed reveal of the game is going to be tomorrow as I'm filming this, so possibly today as you're watching the video, because I've been super bad about getting these up on a timely fashion for Wednesdays. So Thursday this week is supposedly going to be the reveal day. I would say about 50% possible that we will see it on Thursday, though Ed Boon has really, really hinted that this week, very explicitly, this week is going to be very interesting for his company. So very probably going to be this week. In my mind, this week means Friday in the world of Ed Boon, just to kind of give us a weekend to chew on things. So that seems much more likely. I would, if that was the rumor, I would say 100%, but that's not the rumor. So we're saying, yeah, 50% that Thursday is going to be the day of the release, or the reveal rather. So that's what we got, nerds. If you don't know what I'm talking about, if you're lost, then you need to catch up on your nerd news. If you're on the YouTube, then you can do that by clicking or tapping, you know, the box shows up right there to the side of my face. If you're on the Rumble, if you're on any of the audio platforms, then you just got to go back a couple episodes and catch up, man. That's what we got. I appreciate your faces, nerds. I'm sorry for the disjointed couple of weeks we've had, but it will get better. We will get back to where we were about a month or two ago, two or three rather, and we will do the thing much more frequently and much more thoroughly. So, thank you for joining me, nerds. Before we go, always, always remember that if it's generally nerdy, it's probably here.